Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Josh, if this thing gets to echo again, you may have to cut down a little bit. I don't know what's changed. Something's changed. Ephesians chapter 4. All I've got this morning is just a little thought. I know I say that often, but I really mean it this time. I got just a little thought. Don't expect to be before you long. Yeah, you're going to have to cut that down. I'm echoing. I don't know if y'all can hear it or not. It may be the monitors. It's echoing up here. Ephesians chapter 4.
Bless the Lord.
See what? If you found your place, let's all stand. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just read the first six verses here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul talking, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all and through all and in you. Terry King, you pray for us. Amen. You can be seated.
Bless the Lord.
It's going to take the help of the Lord if there's any preaching done. I've got several definitions wrote down, and that's really all I've got. I don't really know which direction we're going to go, but the thought that's on my mind come from the very first verse of this chapter. This is Paul writing. Verse number 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And that word prisoner, you know, when you read this passage, especially if you've never, if you haven't been in church very long at all, or you don't really understand what it is to be a child of God, when you read that, it sounds like a bad deal. It sounds like it's something that's bad. I wrote down the definition of what a prisoner is. It's a captive in bonds. And another definition that we got is a person who is or feels trapped by situations or circumstance. And that verse, this is Paul writing, and I brought some of it last week, but we know that Paul, when he was Saul before he got born again, before the Lord saved him, and he was a persecutor of Christians. His goal was to put a stop to the growth of the early church. His whole intention was to kill and murder Christians. He was a murderer. Yeah. This guy was a bad dude. He wasn't a good person. By our standards, we would throw him in prison today. And as I began to read this, I was thinking about prisons. And in our time, I was thinking about Butch. He just has got back from Alabama. And every Tuesday night, he goes to the jail. And I think, have you been into three different jails in Surrey County? Just three since you've been going on to it? Your lifetime, three different jails. There's been three different jails in Surrey County because the people, it keeps growing and growing, and there's more and more that is ending up in jail and ending up in prison. And every county that you go to, there's more prisons and there's more jails, and they're daily building more jails and more prisons because the sinner, the prisoners, the people are becoming more and more evil, and they don't even realize that before they ever got in the jail that they was a prisoner of sin. They was a prisoner of their flesh and of the devil. And they're doing exactly what Satan wants them to do. And they're blinded by Satan, the god of this world, into doing exactly what Satan wants them to do. And as I was thinking about Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus, the Lord struck Paul blind. What Paul didn't realize that was before the Lord physically struck him blind, he was already spiritually blind. He didn't realize that he was in a prison. He was in a prison of sin. And if he hadn't got born again, then he would have spent an eternity in hell once he left this world. And this morning, if you've never been born again, you've never been set free from sin, and if you die in that shape, you will spend an eternity in hell fire. I told him in Sunday school this morning, but hell is forever. The argument that they've got in this day is that because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, that when you get cast into hell, that must be it, and you just burn up and it's over with. But according to the Word of God, it's a place where the worm dieth not, and if you end up there, you will be in an eternity in hell. We as human beings are created as eternal beings. We're either going to spend eternity in life in the goodness of the Lord in heaven with Him because the blood of Jesus has been applied to our life, or we're going to spend eternity in hell fire where the worm dieth not, cast into outer darkness, away from the presence of God, never to be reconciled with Him in torments forever and ever. This thing is a reality. I know that's not a shouting message, but I've got a shouting message that I've been born again. I've been set free. I'm no longer the prisoner of Satan. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to live in darkness. I don't have to be comfortless. I don't have to walk around without any hope because the Lord God of heaven got enough of me that He sent the Holy Ghost to indwell me and to be my comforter and to set me free from sin, so that now I'm no longer a prisoner of the world or a prisoner of my flesh. I don't have to sin anymore. I don't have to drink alcohol. I don't have to do drugs. I don't have to fornicate. I don't have to worship idols. I don't have to do all these things that I used to do because I was bound by my sin. I've been set free and I've received eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's by grace through faith. That's the only way that you can be saved, is if the blood of Jesus. It's a free gift, and He's willing to give it to whosoever will call upon His name and set you free from your sin, so that you can be filled with the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and you don't have to walk alone anymore. Amen. You don't have to be bound by sin in the world.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
There in that first verse, it says, I therefore, so Paul is talking about himself, the prisoner of the Lord. So we know that Paul has been set free. And if you've been saved, you've been set free.
Right.
So it sounds like it's backwards. If he's set free, how is he a prisoner? And what I got on my mind, the message that's on my mind, is a voluntary prisoner.
Amen.
I'm a voluntary prisoner of the Lord. When I was in sin, I was bound by it, and there was no way out except by the blood of Jesus. I couldn't make any choice other than choosing the Lord that would get me out of the bondage I was in. Before I was saved, I walked in ways that I really didn't even want to walk. When I was out in sin and backslid, I lived in my trailer right by myself. I smoked dope every day, and that's all that I thought about. That's all that was on my mind, is how am I going to get high? But now that I've been born again, I'm not that man no more. The Lord set me free. The Lord has changed me from the inside. And now I'm a voluntary prisoner to the Lord. There's things that, I wrote this down, a prisoner, prisoners have to do things that they don't always want to do. When I was in sin, I'd done multiple things that I just really didn't want to do. But I'd done them because I was a sinner. But now that I've been set free and I choose to be a prisoner of the Lord, I choose to walk in His way. I choose every day that I'm going to walk on the straight and narrow path, because I know that's the only way to heaven. It's through the door. Jesus is the door. He's the only way, and going through and by Him is the only way that I can get to heaven. And what that means for me in my life is that sometimes there's going to be things that I don't want to do. Sometimes I don't want to have to study to stand up and preach. Sometimes I don't want to have to study to teach Sunday school. Sometimes there's people that have done me wrong and I don't want to show them love. But I want to keep the unity. I want to be right with God. And I'm a voluntary prisoner of the Lord. I'm a voluntary prisoner because my lost friends are watching. I'm a voluntary prisoner because my daughter is watching.
Amen.
I'm a voluntary prisoner because the church is watching each other.
Yeah.
We've got to make ourselves a prisoner to the Lord. I'm a voluntary prisoner, and I don't always like it, but I always love Him.
Amen.
And I'm always thankful for what He done for me.
Amen.
And I'm going to choose to be His prisoner.
Amen.
I'm freed from sin, but I'm bound to God.
Yeah.
I'm bound to God. Now you can choose not to be. You can make the choice not to follow Him, but there ain't no joy in it. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my comfort. And we read back there this morning where Jesus had in Matthew 24 or 23, where Jesus had rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, and I think it's 8 or 10 woes that He told unto them. He said, "Woe, ye hypocrites," and He called them hypocrites. And then He departed from the temple. Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord in the Old Testament, dwelled in the temple. And then when Jesus came, He saw how they were living, and He rebuked them, and then He literally walked out of the temple. If you don't want the Lord inside of you, and you don't want to walk with the Lord, and you would rather sin and be a hypocrite, them scribes and them Pharisees, they were clean on the outside, they looked good on the outside, they looked and acted like Christians on the outside, but on the inside they were dirty and rotten and full of sin and hypocritical, and the presence of the God left them.
Right.
The presence of the Lord left him. I choose to be a prisoner of the Lord because I want Him in me.
Amen.
I want to be where He's at.
Right.
I want to walk with Him and talk with Him and have the comfort of my salvation. It's His salvation. It's His glory. But it gives me comfort through Him.
Right.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That beseech you. Paul uses this a lot. But it means I beg of you.
Yeah.
I beg you. He says, I beg you. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That walk means practice, not just profession. That walk means doing the will of God. I mentioned it back there this morning, but being a Christian is more about what you do than what you don't do. Being a Christian is more about serving the Lord than not sinning. Being a Christian is more about how you walk than it is how you think. Or how you talk. It ain't about what you say. It's about how you walk on a daily basis. It's not about just coming to church on Sunday. It's about being a prisoner of the Lord 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's about serving God every day of the week. He said, I beg of you, walk worthy of the vocation which you were called. That worthy is live a life that's worthy of the calling. You know, before I got saved, I can never, within myself and within my flesh, I'll never be worthy of the gift that the Lord's given me.
Amen.
We've all been called. If you've ever been saved, the Lord called you. The Lord called you to salvation. The only way that you got saved is because the Lord spoke to your heart and drew you. If the Lord don't speak to you and draw you, then you can't be born again. And it's because He called me is the reason that I'm clean and I'm righteous today is because of Him and what He done for me. But the Bible here tells us to walk worthy, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That vocation, it can also be interpreted as calling. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye were called. You know, my life that I live, I can't make myself worthy. But because I am a voluntary prisoner of the Lord, I have a duty within me to live a life that would be worthy of that. I'm not worthy of it. The only reason I'm clean is because of the blood of Jesus. But now He expects me to walk worthy of that calling, of that salvation that He's freely given to me.
Amen.
There's something for me to do. I've got to walk worthy of the calling. Verse number 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I told you I got a bunch of definitions.
Bless the Lord.
Lowliness is humility. Walking in humility. We read it back there this morning, but if I get lifted up, if I think that I'm somebody because I'm saved, I'm not walking as a prisoner of the Lord.
Right.
Meekness is gentleness, mild, modest, humble, submissive. How many of us are those things in here today? How many of us are gentle, mild, modest, humble, and submissive? And then long-suffering is patient, or suffering long, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing means to endure. It's said to forbear one another in love. Let's read 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. I believe that this is talking about the unity of the Spirit with each other. And it's also talking about the unity of the Spirit within myself. I have to endeavor. Endeavoring is to make diligent effort. In order for me to be all of these things and do these things that Paul has said I beg of you to do, I have to be a prisoner of the Lord. I have to submit myself to the Lord every single day. And you know, I thought about as a prisoner is in prison, they just won't act. A prisoner, when they're locked up because of the crime that they committed, the one thing they want is to get out of that prison. Well, the one thing I believe that Paul wanted, because he knew that the Lord and he seen what the Lord had done for him, was to remain this prisoner. That's the difference between a sinner and a safe man. I don't do this because I have to. I do this because I want to. I want to be a prisoner of the Lord, because when I'm right with Him, there's joy and peace in my life. There's never been a day that I've done the will of God that I knew that He wanted me to do that I regretted it. But there's been many, many times when the Lord has spoke to my heart and He said, go to my brother that has hurt me. And I didn't go to him to keep that unity. And I didn't do it, and I knew that it hindered the service of the Lord. And I knew that it hindered the Spirit of God. And when I didn't go to him and do what the Lord had called me to do, I regretted it. Every time that I disobeyed the Lord and I didn't make myself a prisoner of the Lord, I regretted it. They was talking about the drug addict this morning, and I'll say it, I've said it often, but I've never met a drug addict who says that they're glad they ever done a drug for the first time. No drug addict ever meant to be a drug addict. No drunk ever meant to be an alcoholic, and they regret the first smoke or the first drink that they ever took. But I've never met a Christian that said, I regret the day I got born again. I've never met a Christian that said, I regret being a prisoner of the Lord, because that is where their joy was.
Amen.
Breathe on him, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Endeavoring, let's see, forbearing one another in love. Has a Christian brother or sister, raise your hand. Has a Christian brother or sister ever just plumb upset you and you didn't want to deal with them? You didn't want to go to them and say, I've got hard feelings with you and I want to make it right. You know, that disrupts the unity of the Spirit. That disrupts not only the unity of the Spirit between you and God, but it disrupts the unity of the Spirit between each other. We have to be in unity, one mind and one accord, to see the Lord work and do great and mighty things. I believe that He has been in the last few weeks. There's a lot of new faces around here that have came and continued to come. There's some that's got saved. There's some that's rededicated. There's new visitors coming in. The Lord is doing great things. But think about what He'd do if we'd get in one mind and one accord. I'm not saying that we're not, but I'm saying some of us may not be. There may be some that's got harboring something down on the inside that's hindering the work of God. Every week, nearly, we've got one or two that have raised their hands and say they're lost and headed for a devil's hell, and it could be that they're not getting saved because the Spirit is not united in the body of Christ. I want to know that I've got the unity of the Spirit not only in me but with you all, so that my lost, if they show up that I've been praying for and I've been seeking God on behalf of, if they show up, I want the Spirit of God here so that they might get born again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I wrote this down, Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of Christ, or through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So the peace Let's read this again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. Our peace comes from the cross. Right there in Colossians it said, having made peace through the blood of His cross. So the peace that I have is in the cross. The only peace that I'm going to have is through my faith and trust that what He done on the cross for me was enough for me to get to heaven. And once I stop relying on the cross and begin to rely on myself and break the unity of the bond of peace, that bond, let's see, I think I wrote it down. The bond, the cross is the bond that holds everything together. Without the cross, there is no bond. And when I look at the cross, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no big eyes, there's no little U's. We're all just prisoners of the Lord. When we look at the cross, we see His love and we see our wretchedness. When I look at what He done for me on Calvary's cross, and I think that that is what true love is, that is what it is to be a prisoner of the Lord, that He went all the way to the cross for me and for you and for the sins of the world, but He done it not only just for me, He done it for whosoever will. And then I look at my life and I think, am I that man? Am I that man that would have such love for a sinner that's going to die and go to hell? And I can't say that I am. And that shows me my wretchedness. It shows me that I don't have that love that Jesus had for me and that Jesus had for the world. And it shows me that I'm nothing and I'm nobody. And I have to rely on the cross at Calvary in order to have that bond of peace. Not only with the Lord, but with my brother and sister. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So here, what this is telling us in verse 7 through 9 is that Jesus, when he died on the cross, this can be confusing. We don't talk about this a lot. But when Jesus died on the cross and he gave up the ghost and he died for you and me, Jesus literally went to the middle of the earth, and all those Old Testament saints that had been died in the faith before Jesus died on the cross, they were in captivity in the center of the earth. The hell was split up into hell and paradise. And these captives were in prison in the center of the earth. They were captive, even though they wasn't in hell per se. They wasn't in the torment. They were still captive in captivity in the center of the earth. And when he died, he set them free as well. So that's where the statement that he conquered death, hell, and the grave comes from. And as I thought about this, and the message that was on my heart was a voluntary prisoner, and I want to be that voluntary prisoner. I want to do what the Lord has called me to do and be who He's called me to be. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, Jesus not only left the deity to put on the flesh to be like me, but then He died the death that I deserve, and then He literally went down to prison. Jesus was a prisoner Himself for me. He had the power to set those captives free, and He has the power to set us free as captives of sin. He has the power to set us free today, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave. So that we could be bound to Him in the bond of peace.
Blessing Lord.
Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I have a cross to bear. I have a cross to bear. He told us to every one of us to take up our cross daily and follow Him. That is the call that's on my life, and that's what I want to be. I want to be a voluntary prisoner of the Lord. He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse number 14 is what we're trying to get to.
Bless him, Lord.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, oftentimes we think that the pastor and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers are the only ones that's going to make a difference in the body of Christ, or are going to make a difference in the church. But here the Bible tells us in verse 16 that the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So every member of the body of Christ, if we aren't a prisoner to the Lord, we're doing damage to the body. We're doing damage to the unity of the Spirit. And the body, it said there that according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every finger needs a hand.
Right.
Every hand needs an arm. Every arm needs a shoulder. And if we're not all in it together, all making ourselves a prisoner of the Lord, if we're stepping out on the Lord, we're not only stepping out on the Lord, we're stepping out on the body. If we're not daily living a life as a prisoner of the Lord, I live my life every day. I don't just try to not sin because somebody may find out. I don't just witness to the people that I come in contact with every day because I'm supposed to be a preacher at Mount Vernon Church. I do it because I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I don't abstain from sin when I'm right by myself and nobody knows I'm there. Nobody would know what I'm doing because I'm afraid somebody would find out. I do it because I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I do it because I want to see the body of Christ grow. I do it because I want to see our lost saved, and I want to see the Spirit of God move in our church. I'm a voluntary prisoner of the Lord, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We all have to come together as one. That I was reading about the cross, our peace comes from constant faith in the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. When we look at the cross, we see His love in our wretchedness. He gave His life, and we hardly give Him our time. We put our faith in the cross, and we lose all hope in ourselves. Listen, I don't have any hope in myself, and I know who I am. And I know that I must do my part. And I know in order to do my part as a prisoner of the Lord, I have to be united in one body. I have to be in one mind, and I can't have aught against my brother or sister in the body of Christ advance. I can't have all the with my brother or sister, or the body be separated. And the last of that verse said, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen, I don't know where we're at this morning. I know it was short and it wasn't a lot. Tommy, can you play? You good? She broke your phone. You good? Come on. But I believe that the Lord sent the message this morning. And I believe that we need to realize that we have to be the prisoner of the Lord. Every day, every minute of every hour, when I'm not the prisoner of the Lord, I end up regretting it. When I don't walk with the Lord and do what I know I'm supposed to do, I end up regretting it. When I've got aught with my brother and sister and I harbor it and I hinder the working of God, I regret it. When my lost family or friend comes to the house of God and the Spirit of God ain't here, and I know that something within me has kept the Spirit of God away, I regret it.
Yeah.
Don't do that today. Surrender to the Lord. Surrender all to the Lord. I don't know your hearts. I don't know what you've done this week, who you are. I don't know. I don't know, but the Lord does. The Lord knows every idle thought that you've had this week, and those that you've given place to, and those that you've shunned away. If you give place to sin, that's not a prisoner of the Lord. That's a prisoner of the flesh. That's a prisoner of ourselves. But we don't have to be that. I don't have to be a prisoner to my flesh anymore, because I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Let's all stand.